And a very good morning to you on this momentous coronation weekend. A truly joyous celebration of our new king and his queen amidst all the pomp and pageantry and colour, soaring song, and deeply spiritual declarations according to the word of God. A truly joyous and royal special occasion. And I'd like to begin by, we're actually just getting some breaking news for you. Yes, it would appear that a major incident has been declared in a town in northern Israel. Apparently, a well-known religious teacher who was speaking at a synagogue service has narrowly avoided being assassinated by angry synagogue worshippers. Yes, it appears that he was narrowly avoided that assassination, and the whole town there has erupted into protest. Let's go live now to our reporter on the ground in Israel, Andrew Hounsell. Just to see what more he can tell us about this. Andrew, what can you tell us about this incident?
Thank you, Jill. I'm sure you can hear the loud, angry protests of the crowd in the background. It is still unclear how this rabbi, a well-known teacher called Jesus, offended these worshippers to the point that they were prepared to push him over the cliff edge. We do know that Jesus was visiting his hometown synagogue, and as a guest rabbi, he read out the scriptures. And I have just been handed a copy of the exact scripture he read out, words written by the prophet Isaiah, which say, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We're told that the rabbi went on to state, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." A very controversial claim to make after just reading what Jews would see as a prophecy describing their long-awaited Messiah and coming King. It seems that Rabbi Jesus then called the Nazarenes out for inwardly rejecting him and his message, using the sayings, "Physician, heal yourself," and "No prophet is accepted in this hometown." He also referenced two revered prophets of the past who had performed miracles exclusively for two foreigners. Jesus' hometown reunion went rapidly downhill from there. But let's hear now from one of the protesters at the synagogue who wishes to remain anonymous. "Can you tell us what this Rabbi Jesus did to make you so angry?"
What he did? It's what he didn't do. Why didn't he do any miracles here? I mean, when he did them in other places, it's discrimination, huh? He did them in Capernaum, why not here in Nazareth, his hometown? We got plenty of sick people here too, you know? We want to hear about how God is blessing us, just us, his chosen people, okay? Yeah, we do. We want to hear about his blessing. But he insults us with stories about Gentiles receiving miracles. Miracles for the Gentiles when they do not deserve it. We are the ones that need that. He called himself a Nazarene, but he don't even speak about our struggle against oppression, about the foreigners that have kept on oppressing us for so long. And why he left out that passage in Isaiah about us being brokenhearted. Why? God, he wants to come and heal and prosper us. He is on our side. He is going to bring vengeance against our enemies. Why he left out that bit, eh? Some chosen one of God, he claimed to be. Down with the oppressors. Vengeance on our enemies.
Well, Jill, tensions are certainly running high here, as you can hear, and there is a lot more to this story. I'm handing back to you now in the studio.
Thank you, Andy, and we very much hope to be returning to you later. But to try now and understand something more of the background context to Nazareth, and to help us understand why this incident might have taken place, we have with us now, live in the studio, Professor Jennifer Oliphant. And Professor Oliphant is the Professor of Judaic History and Culture in Ben Hebron University. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And Professor, can you help us, please, with some background context to this town of Nazareth and help us understand why this incident might have flared up today?
Yes, certainly. Well, Nazareth is a relatively new town, a very Jewish town. Settlers from Judea only recently pushed out the Gentile neighboring people from Gentile neighboring villages. And being on the frontier, Nazareth is very nationalistic and it's sensitive to political struggles and people who are on the outside.
I see. And yet, Jesus is no outsider to them. We understand that he actually grew up there. He and his family are local to the area, very well known. What is it that made them take such exception to him today?
Yes, Nazareth is not well known for its inclusivity. In fact, inclusivity, that approach would have been very offensive That would have been very offensive for what Rabbi Jesus was saying, because Rabbi Jesus was very inclusive. So that message was so offensive to them. The people of Nazareth see the Messiah as exclusively for them, for the Jews.
Yes, so this message of inclusivity, I assume you're referring to the follow-on remarks that Jesus made after his scripture reading, where he specifically referenced two Gentiles, two foreigners or outsiders, who were helped or healed miraculously by prophets from God, whilst the Israelites received no such help?
Yes, that would certainly be part of it. The real issue here is that the Nazarene Jews see themselves specially chosen for God's liberation and restoration, exclusively chosen. Not merely alongside outsiders. And far from thinking that Gentile prisoners would be liberated, they believe that those would be to serve them, the Gentiles would be to serve them, that they would bring labor, they would bring their riches to rebuild the glory days of Israel.
Doesn't that seem a rather unjust and elitist attitude for the people of God?
Certainly, but on the contrary, for the perspective from the Nazarene Jews, they see this as God's justice for them. After all their military struggles from the surrounding Gentile nations, they view themselves as the brokenhearted, those who are mourning. They are awaiting God's comfort and restoration for them. And for them alone.
And yet, Jesus did not refer to that kind of justice for the brokenhearted Jews, did he? Was that intentional on Jesus' part, not to mention that?
Yes, Jesus made good use of the practice of rabbis when they sometimes omit some verses when reading from the prophets and bring in other verses to underline a point. And by leaving out two verses in Isaiah, the binding up the brokenhearted, and also that the Israelites would feed on the wealth of nations, Jesus is saying that God, in the Messiah, is not coming to prosper and heal Israel at the expenses of other nations. And in failing to include another verse, God's day of vengeance, Jesus is saying the Messiah is not coming to take vengeance on the Gentiles, outsiders. Instead, the Messiah brings a perpetual jubilee, a cancelling of debts, restoration, freedom, and he offers this to all peoples, a reconciliation, a restoration for both Jews and Gentiles. This declaration would certainly have excited a lot of anger in the listening Nazarene Jews.
So essentially, Jesus is making God far more generous and inclusive than the Nazarenes would want him to be.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, thank you for these fascinating insights, Professor, to help us understand something more of this Nazarene dynamic. That has been most helpful. Thank you. Well, though we have several questions now answered for us, there does still remain one unanswered question, and that is, why did Jesus not do any miracles there in Nazareth today? Why wasn't he healing their sick as he had done in other surrounding areas? Is this a case of discrimination? Or has he changed his mission away from miracles to purely a message of justice and liberation? Or is he simply burnt out? To get answers, we are going to cross back over now, live to our reporter, Andy Hounsell, who has managed to gain an exclusive interview with three of Jesus' own followers who have asked not to be named. Andy, over to you.
Yes, yes, that's right. We have here three of Jesus' own followers who have bravely agreed to talk to us and give us some insights into why Jesus acted as he did. And I'm going to start with you, sir, if I may. From what you know of Jesus, through living and working with him, why do you think Jesus wouldn't meet the demands of the crowd here in Nazareth?
Well, Jesus doesn't do anything except he wants to do it. That's the first thing. And the other thing is that Jesus doesn't come out to please a crowd. That's never what he does. And what he does do, though, he always communes with his Father and everything that's happening. And so he then acts on that and that alone. It's fair to say that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing and wasn't doing and what the outcome would be. I think there's no doubt on that. And when everything kicked off, we were very afraid, but Jesus wasn't fazed at all. And even when they tried to kill him, he wasn't fazed.
Thank you. And if we can turn to you, sir.
Yeah, Jesus not doing miracles in Nazareth was not to do with discrimination. And Jesus not doing miracles wasn't a thing to do with his ministry. He was still doing ministries, so as if Jesus would stop. The Nazarenes, by their actions, were offended by Jesus, as was said earlier. And that was the miracle blocker. That's what stopped the miracles. Jesus wants people to receive miracles way more than anything else, and way more than any of us do. The Nazarenes getting offended shut down their faith. They couldn't accept that Jesus is, well, special. He's powerful, anointed by God. They still saw him as the plain old carpenter's son, nothing more. They just couldn't get their heads around a local guy being a prophet
never mind a Messiah. To them, he is just a homegrown rabbi with no proper religious training. An exciting curiosity at first, sure, but when he started saying things they didn't like hearing.
Okay. And, sir, was there anything further you wanted to add? If you're okay, just coming over here so we can hear you. Thank you.
Jesus knew what their reaction would be before they did. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that the miracles that he had done elsewhere, they would never be accepted in Nazareth. And neither would he. He knew this. But when Jesus... wouldn't play ball with them. They wanted him to do miracles for them, there, for their people, now, today. And Jesus wouldn't do that. And when Jesus inferred that they were blind, that went down very badly, very badly. But we've seen Jesus heal the blind. And there's one thing that we know. If he starts talking about blindness, it's not about eyes, it's about the heart. Because we know that a blind heart can never see a miracle, a divine miracle. Even if it hits them right between the eyes, they won't see it.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. If I just move along the line here, let's come to our final person here to hear from. So what's your understanding of the Rabbi Jesus?
I'm not sure any of us fully understand Jesus, but this I know. Whatever we see or hear Jesus do, whether it's on the hillside or in the synagogue, we need to watch and learn really closely, because he wants us to be just like him, to treat people better than any of us ever deserve, to share good news of hope and restoration, to deliver justice to the oppressed, to heal, to deliver and work miracles, just as he does. And what's more, to do that for our enemies. And even the people we don't like. Honestly, I think it's not just the Nazarenes who need a heart change. We all do.
This Jesus sounds so much more than just a rabbi.
I know, it sounds unbelievable, but I really think he is the king we've all been waiting for. And he's showing us a kingdom that we've never seen before. And he's telling us that we can be part of creating this kingdom.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So, Jill, if we can hand back to you now in the studio. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, a brand new type of kingdom. Well, if there's one thing certain from all that we've been hearing today, it's this. The name of Jesus is not going away anytime soon. As all across the world, followers of Jesus are recognizing that they too, that we too, are anointed by Jesus with the exact same anointing as Jesus to take our place in building his remarkable kingdom.
I am anointed to share his good news with any needing hope.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, thank you. Oh.
And I am anointed to teach those who are bound up in darkness to live in the light.
Yes. Preach it.
And I am anointed to open my home so that others can encounter Jesus there.
Yes, that's right. Jesus. He is the King of all kings. He's the heavenly King. There's no other King like Jesus. And would you stand to your feet and join me in giving three cheers to our wonderful King Jesus? Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Absolutely fabulous. There's so much stuff in there. I don't know about you, but I was just thinking, oh yes, and that, and I want to remember that. And so I hope that the drama that Jill and her team put together has really sunk deep into your heart. We're going to have a small time of response now, or however long God thinks it should take. So we're going to respond to the message, and I'm just going to simply ask a few questions that I'd love you to prayerfully consider. You might want to bow your heads, take some time after the excitement to really think about what it means to you. So let's consider these questions. Who might be the outsider in your life needing God's blessing through you? The outsiders can be those people who we don't normally mix with, might find it difficult to approach or even believe that God's got blessing for them. You are anointed today, this week, to bless them. Ask God now to show you the outsiders he wants you to bless. It takes humility to accept the amazing truths that Jesus says about us. Are you willing to humble yourself today and accept what Jesus says about you? That as his follower, you have been given the exact same anointing as him, to do the same things as he did. You may not feel strong or feel gifted, but the truth is you are anointed, whatever your feelings or your circumstances say. You can lay your hands on sick people and see them healed. You can tell your story of salvation and lead others to Jesus. You can pray peace over someone distressed or hurting, and you can open your home to an outsider. you can see miracles through your own hands and your own prayers. So now, I want you to take a bold step if you're able. As a sign of your yes to God, you may want to join me in standing if you're able. Put your hand up otherwise. And your standing is a declaration of agreement that you are ready to reach outsiders and that you recognize that you are anointed. The ministry team are going to be ready and waiting for you. If you would like others to pray with you in either of these areas, the anointing or the reaching the outsiders, they would be happy to anoint you with oil if you'd like in recognition of your own anointing. Otherwise, we're going to sing another song and you can, in your heart, declare you're ready to meet the outsiders and say yes to Jesus.